Welcome again to Grace Baptist Church. We now enter that time, thanks be to God, that I'm able to do this in His service. We enter that time referred to as Sunday school. How I pray that God, by His Spirit, will cause us to learn Christ. The next word in reference to our message this morning is going to help us to learn about Christ. That word, that topic today is vengeance. Last week we dealt with the biblical topic concerning justice. The Holy Scriptures clearly teach that the justice of God is dealt to humanity in two righteous judgments: condemnation and salvation. Yes, both are righteous judgments. Of those condemned, the Bible says this, John 3:19, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and human beings loved darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. Without God, unless God intervenes by His Spirit into the human soul and birthing them spiritually, there will be no one with a saving interest in Christ, who is the light. As the text goes on to say there in John chapter 3, for everyone practicing evil hates the light, Christ, and does not come to the light, Christ, lest the works of that one should be reproved or exposed. Those practicing evil hate the light. Make no mistake, human hate has no love for Christ. These people that we speak of here, without the intervention of God, will not come by faith to Christ because they're not willing to confess their sin, which exposes their wickedness. Human pride is an evil sin. Jesus Christ, the light, is also the embodiment of the truth, and indeed identifies Himself as the truth in John 14:6. The same folks who hate the light have no love for the truth as well. The Bible speaks clearly about that. 2 Thessalonians 2:10. Those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth, Christ. Earlier in that very same chapter of 2 Thessalonians, we see what occurs as these people perish. When the light, the truth, our Lord Jesus Christ returns with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are two groups addressed right there. Number one, people who have no intimate relationship with Christ. That's what it means to know Christ. These people do not know Christ. They have no intimate relationship with Him. As the scripture says, Psalm 10:4, and God is in none of their thoughts. They simply love the darkness. They're not thinking about God at any time. And number two, of course, this one's very, very clear. Those who openly reject the Christ of the gospel will have vengeance rained out upon them. Now it's here that we must begin to take a closer look at vengeance. Just what are we talking about when we talk about vengeance? The word vengeance appears 38 times in the King James Version of the Old Testament. The same Hebrew root word is used in every single appearance of the word vengeance as translated. In the King James Version, the word vengeance appears 7 times in the New Testament. 4 of those 7 have the same Greek root word, and I'm going to refer to those alone when I quote the New Testament. Now, I did a word study. I love these word studies. It's very important for me to know exactly what I'm talking about. So often we use words and we really don't know what they mean, and we can be misleading and be misled by not understanding words as they are meant. I looked at 3 sources: Strong's Exhaustive Concordance of the Bible, I looked at the Theological Word Book of the Old Testament, and I looked at Moulton's Analytical Greek Lexicon, which has every single word in the New Testament. Now, the word study I did from these renders the following words. I'm going to give you some words related to the word vengeance. Oftentimes, you could use these words in the place of vengeance. The first word that appears in Strong's, listen, this is very interesting. I had to take a double look at this one. The first word that appears in Strong's concerning vengeance is grudge. Grudge. You have heard of people who have a grudge against someone. That grudge is a sense of being wronged. You were wronged in some way, leading to a retaliation for that wrong, often in the form of punishment. Now, that word grudge, the word retaliation, and the word punishment all have to do with vengeance. God has a perfect grudge against sinners, and his perfect justice requires vengeance. Yes, listen up, even revenge. Revenge, another word related to our word vengeance. Now, for those of you who are ready to turn the phone off, hang it up, and say, I've heard just about enough from what has been said thus far about vengeance, please listen to the following from the Theological Word Book of the Old Testament. Listen to this. This is very, very good. You need to hear this. Vengeance and revenge, and then this is all in reference to our word vengeance. Vengeance and revenge are ideas that would appear to have no good ethical validity, whether coming from God or man. But such is not the case when the use of this root word in the Hebrew, is properly understood in its Old Testament setting and New Testament application. The concept of divine vengeance must be understood in the light of the Old Testament teaching about the holiness and justice of God and its effect on man as a sinner. In terms of the presuppositions of some modern Christian theologies, such a God of vengeance would be labeled unchristian and unethical. Shame on them. Shame on them. Understood in the full orb of biblical revelation, balanced as it is by the mercy of God, divine vengeance is seen to be a necessary aspect of the history of redemption. And it is. Deuteronomy 32, verses 35 and 41. This is a classical passage concerning vengeance. Vengeance is mine. I will recompense them who hate me. God cannot be true to his character of holiness and justice if he allows sin and rebellion to go unpunished. That makes common sense, folks. The prophets stressed the day of the Lord's vengeance as times in history when the Lord sets the record straight. This was Jeremiah's view of the fall of Jerusalem. Since in the course of history, the record can never be totally straight, the prophetic, the eschaton, or final day of the Lord's vengeance is called for. The Bible balances the fury of God's vengeance against the sinner with the greatness of his mercy on those whom he redeems from sin. God's vengeance must never be viewed apart from his purpose to show mercy. Goodness, I hope you listen to that. It is so true. A clear example of God's vengeance balanced with his mercy is found in Deuteronomy 32:43. Listen to this. Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. For he will avenge, a word having to do with vengeance. For he will avenge the blood of his servants and render vengeance to his adversaries. He will provide atonement for his land and his people. Now, we have seen grudge, retaliation, punishment, avenge, and revenge. Now let's look to the New Testament and that Greek lexicon I was speaking of, where we glean these meanings that I'm going to give you now when we consider vengeance. To retaliate, to answer sin with judgment, even condemnation. To carry out justice by retaliating with revenge and punishment. To avenge, to vindicate, is to carry out vengeance. Now that's what we're talking about when we're talking about vengeance. And vengeance is mentioned 45 times in the complete Holy Scriptures. And once again, in God's case, vengeance is due to his righteous judgment, his righteous justice. Christians, dear brothers and sisters, this is why the Holy Scriptures proclaim repeatedly, what do they proclaim repeatedly? We'll read first from Romans 12:19, which quotes from Deuteronomy and the Psalms. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Hebrews 10:30. Looks to the Old Testament as well, saying, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Why? Why does God restrict humanity from exercising vengeance on their own, but confines vengeance to his judgment alone. It's not for human beings. It's for God to exact vengeance. He may use human beings, but he is the source of that activity for his own righteous purposes. God says this to human beings. Listen up. We're talking about why does God restrict human beings and confines judgment to himself alone. Confines vengeance to his judgment alone. God says this. Yet you say, speaking to mankind, the way of the Lord is not equal, not balanced. Hear now, O house of Israel, is not my way equal or balanced? And he goes on to ask another question. Are not your ways unequal or unbalanced? Ezekiel 18:5. Now, I wonder if you remember, any of you, I don't know how many watched this particular one, but I had a message some time back, weighed in the balances. This verse that I just read from Ezekiel brings to mind the scales of God's justice, which are accurate, righteous, and true. The people are saying to God, your way is not equal, it's not balanced. God says to them, no, it's your way that are not equal, that are not balanced. God's scales are again accurate, righteous, and true. God's vengeance will be dealt in that exact same manner. Now, you and I don't want to hear what Daniel, a prophet of God, said to King Belshazzar. We don't want to hear what was said to him, said to us. You have been weighed in the balances and found lacking. You're coming up short. In other words, you have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Those are exactly parallel one to another. Belshazzar, along with myriads and myriads of other souls, will face the vengeance of God due to their unforgiven sin. They would rather sit in the darkness and reject Christ. Your soul is your very being. And in reference to your soul, God says this in Ezekiel 18. Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father, as well as the soul of the Son, is mine. The soul who sins shall die. And folks, he's not only talking about physical death, but he's talking about spiritual death. If you are a human, now some people may think, why in the world would you say human? Well, first of all, it's because we're not angels. Angels have no way to forgiveness. If they fell, God reprobated them immediately. Judgment on those without a chance of forgiveness. But if you are a human, today, in today's world, folks, they don't know who a man is, who a woman is. You can be a man and say you're a woman and say you're a man. You can say you're binary. I'm like this part of the time, I'm like that part of the time, or you're neither. There's so many categories out there now, it's unbelievable. And I'm sure there are those out there who are questioning whether or not everybody is human. Folks, if you are a human, you have a soul, which makes you uniquely you. And you are uniquely, individually responsible for your sin and subject to God's vengeance. Now that should strike terrible fear in the heart of everyone outside of Christ. But folks, rarely is it even attended to. Rarely is it even considered. Even when heard, it's just water over the waterfall, or whatever that saying is. God's vengeance is accompanied by God's wrath. Oh my goodness. We do not want to suffer the anger of God. There is a last day, I've mentioned that so many times, in which God will carry out his righteous justice, where the elect of God will forever be united to Christ in paradise. But those who have rejected God and his Christ will suffer the vengeance of God in everlasting torment. Now we're going to read a pretty good amount of the Bible now. I don't mean all the pages. I just mean we're going to read a fair sum now from our Word of God, the Holy Scriptures. Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Now we all just need to look to the New Testament and see that Christ preached this. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to captives, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Now listen to what he says. And the day of vengeance of our God. And the day of vengeance of our God. Most all of that had to do with salvation. But he ends right there, or I ended it right there, with the Lord God saying, and the day of the vengeance, the day of vengeance of our God. Now moving from there to the New Testament, now you need to listen to this. I've made a proclamation from these verses. I'm going to prove it today, which I don't believe I gave a proof text to what I said. I'm going to prove it today if I didn't before, which means I'm going to do it again. 2 Thessalonians verses 6 through 10. Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us. When the Lord Jesus Christ, when the Lord Jesus Christ is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, he's coming again. In flaming fire, Christ is coming, and what is the activity we see here? In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. When he comes in that day, to be glorified in his saints, and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. To repeat, after saying, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, it goes on to say, these shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. The source of this vengeance, of this damnation, is the presence of Christ and his glorious power. It's not saying they shall be punished away from the presence of the Lord. Now, do you have anything that can flat out back that up? Goodness gracious. We had the Apostle Paul there. Now we have the Apostle John in the Revelation chapter 14. Please, please listen. In the 14th chapter, in the middle of verse 9, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives a mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself, that's speaking of the sinner who does those things, individual sinners, listen now, individual sinners shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God. God's vengeance is accompanied by his wrath, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. Oh my goodness. That's the worst place you can be. Right there. On the end of that. He, the sinner, shall be tormented. He, the sinner, shall be tormented with fire and brimstone. Now listen. In the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Now, what do you do with that? I just verifies what was said there in 2 Thessalonians. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever. And they have no rest day or night. Jesus Christ is the source of their torment. Being in the presence of the power of his glory. Because they rejected that. And it doesn't last for a couple of days, a couple of months, a couple of the years, a couple of years. It lasts forever. Forever and ever. Revelation 19. 11 through 16. The Apostle John says there this. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes like a flame of fire, and on his head many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Now we know from so much of the New Testament that this can be none but the Lord Jesus Christ. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword. And again, that is referred to in Revelation 1:16 as well. And that is none other but Christ. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads, listen now, this is vengeance carried out. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. He himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on a robe, and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Going to close now. Don't forget the balance we saw in the mercy of Christ and in the vengeance of Christ. Now, I know most everybody I'm speaking to is a Christian or professes such. So there may be someone that hears this, or that you might even talk to, who doesn't know Christ. I have a question for those. Which will it be for you? Which will it be for you? Forgiveness or vengeance? Flee to Christ by faith, confessing your sin, seeking the forgiveness found only in Christ. Turn from that sin, and you will be forgiven, if all of that is of God. If not, you will not be able to escape the eternal vengeance of God. A vengeance that is holy and righteous. This is who God is, and he cannot deny himself. Again, a vengeance that must be carried out because it is holy and righteous. And yes, by that, God will set the record straight.